Not that I think in the workplace is one of the most beautiful things, is you have an adoration chapel that when things get overwhelming, you can go right in there and talk to Christ in it.
Yep.
Well, you're absolutely right. And quite honestly, we still have hospital sisters here on our campus, which that was a gift walking in. We were not as fortunate in Chippewa Falls to have sisters walking side by side and praying for us. Certainly they do that from a distance every day, but to have them side by side and working with us and for us, I think is a great gift.
It surely is.
You know, you mentioned Kevin Cast earlier. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you. Kevin and I, as well as Steve, my husband, and Jan, his wife, were all on pilgrimage together in 2009. So the system in their formation of their leaders as lay leaders and sort of handing off that responsibility of carrying forth the ministries and the mission, every other year bring about 37 to 40 colleagues to Europe.
Oh, wow.
And we start off, at least for us, we started off in Münster, Germany, where the International Mother House is for hospital sisters. And then we moved to Assisi in Italy and walked in the footsteps of Francis and Claire and then concluded in Rome. And what rich history were we able to glean from that journey and that trip. But we had the opportunity at that time to get to know Kevin and Jan very, very well. So I can appreciate the love and care and adoration for both of them, quite honestly, because they're just class acts.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
They surely are.
Well, Joan, we've had a great time with you this morning. You're welcome to come back anytime something's going on at the hospital. If you have a department head or somebody, it's hard to get hospital people in here because they're so busy.
I know.
You know, I would love to sit down and talk to someone from the mental health side and see if we can get you some help, Mark. But I do believe
I'm
that
taking
he's
meds.
Picking on you.
I'm taking meds.
If we, you know, we can have a great partnership with the hospital and give the hospital a lot of airtime to tell us what's going on in the hospital and in the Catholic community.
And please see
that
us as a tool.
That would be fantastic. Yes.
We are so eager to promote St. Mary's and to be a voice for the hospital.
We appreciate that. You know, you're right here amidst
walking
with us. So we appreciate your presence, continued presence, and we certainly will plug in a number of our leaders that we can get our story out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super.
Okay, we've been talking to Mrs. Joan Kaufman, the new CEO, Decatur St. Mary's Hospital. I'm excited. She's a lovely person, a great personality, great vision. I think this is going to be some good stuff going on at St. Mary's, so stay tuned for us. We'll be back on the other side with a gospel preview and some community calendar, and who knows what else might happen in the next 20 minutes or so, okay? You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR, Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute on Relevant Radio. Have you ever heard someone say, "Religion can never depend on minute disputes about doctrine"? G.K. Chesterton says that's like saying that life can never depend on minute disputes about medicine. Will the man who says we don't want theologians splitting hairs also say we don't want surgeons splitting filaments more delicate than hairs? Many a man would be dead today if his doctors had not debated fine shades about doctoring. It's also a fact that Western civilization would be dead today if its doctors of divinity had not debated fine shades about doctrine. We depend on doctors of medicine. We can also depend on the doctors of the church. Want more than a minute? Visit our website, chesterton.org.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. That was a great interview, Mark. I really enjoyed meeting Mrs. Kaufman, and I think she's got great vision.
Oh, she does.
For the hospital, and it's
and you can sense the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And the commitment.
Yeah. Well, let's move into the section of the show where we discuss next Sunday's readings. And I believe next Sunday is the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, before we go on to the gospel, Mark, remember last week the gospel was about the guy that took the workers out into the field,
right.
And the guys that got there early got the same pay as the guys that only spent an hour.
Right, and they were hot about it.
They were hot about it, and that's where the Lord said those who come first will be last, and those
that's
who are
right.
Last. Well, I just want to look at today's or this Sunday's first reading, which is from the book of Ezekiel, and just read this to you.
Okay, please.
And see how you think this ties into last week's gospel.
All right.
Because it's amazing how the church ties these things together. Okay? So this is a reading from the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, you say, the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair, or rather, is it not your ways? When someone is virtuous and turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity that he committed that he must die. But if he turns from wickedness that he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. The word of the Lord.
Yes.
You know,
thanks be to God.
That's just the same thing we were talking a little bit last week about, is that as long as you turn away from sin and turn towards God at any time in your life and remain steadfast, whether you were baptized a Catholic like I was, being a cradle, or a convert like you, it doesn't matter if you've been the best person your entire life and you fall at the end,
yes,
or if you've been the worst criminal ever and find Christ at the end, God's not fair.
Right.
That, and I think that's not fair.
Yeah, right.
But it's certainly the most merciful way to be, and that's
God. It is, and that is God.
God is kindness and love, and I think when you hear that first reading, and I bet this Sunday your pastor will probably tune into that one a little bit and try to unwrap what that first reading says.
Yep, I suspect.
I do too. All right, now as our tradition goes on, we do the preview of the gospel for this Sunday. And Mark, you're going to do that, right?
I will. This is a gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, what is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. He said in reply, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, yes, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered the first. Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There you have it.
Yeah, it's interesting that the first son ended up walking the walk.
Right.
After saying he wouldn't.
Right.
And the other one ended up talking the talk after he said he would.
Right.
And so Jesus asked, which one did his father's will? Well, ultimately, the first one did, because even though he said, no, I will not,
he did
go out and do it. Now, I'm sure that Father will be able to pull a lot of stuff out of this. Mark and I are not, we're not trained, seminary trained. We are readers of the gospel. We read our Bibles and we do our studies. But our opinions on this stuff is just
opinion.
Yeah, that's right. We pick out a word or two in that gospel that sticks out to us, and that's what we talk about. And I think this one is about walking the walk and talking the talk.
It is indeed.
And we'll see what Father has to say about that Sunday.
Okay. Well, let's.
And Mark, I still, every week when I go to Mass after we've done this preview, he'll start the gospel, and I'll suddenly go, wow, this seems familiar.
Yeah.
And
then Didn't we just do this one?
I remember we just talked about it.
Yeah.
And I like having that preview, you know, because then I can focus on Father and the way he delivers the gospel and delivers his homily and ties the readings together.
Right.
Because I've pre-read them.
Well, and we do that as a course Well, I even do it daily before I go to daily Mass. So I've already heard it. I've already thought about it. And then when it gets read in Mass, an hour later or sometimes the next morning, depending on when I've reviewed it before, it's like, I've heard this somewhere before.
Yeah.
Didn't we just do this one yesterday? No, it was me reading it the night before.
Have you noticed some of the daily readings, though, also have been Gospels we've used on Saturdays?
Absolutely.
Or I wonder how they choose that.
I don't know. It's called A, B, and C, I think.
Yeah. and I like to try to put together the thread between the first reading, the psalm, the second reading, and the gospel. There's always some sort of a theme that you can pick out. And at one time somebody told me, if you're looking for that theme, listen to the response of the psalm.
Right.
Will kind of give you that theme.
Yep.
So. Okay, well, that's our take on this. I hope everyone attends Mass this week will listen very carefully to their local priest.
That's right.
And
to get the real scoop.
Yeah, and ask him if it was walk the walk and talk the talk.
That's right.
All right. We're going to be back on the other side here of the Cradle and the Convert with some community calendar stuff and anything else we can think of that it would be of interest. And we will do that right after my computer lets me hit the stop button. What in the world? Okay.
There we go.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Okay, Mark, we're back here on the Cradle and the Convert, and what we're going to do right now is we're going to play the Bishop's Column from this week, and everybody should pay close attention to Bishop Paparocki's statement this week, and you can find it in the Catholic Times or on their website, too.
That's right.
So here we go.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, living in Springfield, where Abraham Lincoln lived for over 20 years before he was elected president, we are frequently reminded of his crucial role in ending slavery as a legal institution in the United States. Although slavery officially ended on December 6, 1865, the day the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, racial segregation would continue under the protection of the law until the United States Supreme Court outlawed segregation in public schools with their 1954 decision, Brown v. Board of Education. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 ended all state and local laws requiring public segregation. Although slavery and segregation are no longer legally enforced, one cannot say that all racial divisions in our country have been overcome. A very ugly manifestation of the residual racial tensions that continue to afflict our country was seen recently in the violent demonstrations that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia. The violence there was sparked by a member of a white nationalist group who drove a car into peaceful protesters, killing a young woman and injuring 19 others. These racist impulses and actions must be thoroughly denounced and entirely rejected as being morally unacceptable. In the immediate aftermath of the violence in Charlottesville, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, issued a statement in which he called for calm amid the violent protests in Charlottesville. In his statement, Cardinal DiNardo said, and I quote, "On behalf of the bishops of the United States, I join leaders from around the nation in condemning the violence and hatred that have now led to one death and multiple injuries in Charlottesville, Virginia. The abhorrent acts of hatred displayed in Charlottesville are an attack on the unity of our nation and therefore summon us all to fervent prayer and peaceful action. The bishops stand with all who are oppressed by evil ideology and entrust all who suffer to the prayers of St. Peter Claver as we approach his feast day. We also stand ready to work with all people of goodwill for an end to racial violence and for the building of peace in our communities." End of quote. Cardinal DiNardo's statement on behalf of all the Catholic bishops in the United States was sent to all the priests, deacons, and staff of the Catholic Pastoral Center and Catholic Charities of our diocese, authorizing them to share the statement with their parishioners and others, and was reported in the August 20th issue of our diocesan newspaper, Catholic Times, along with my request for prayers for an end to racial violence and for unity and harmony in our country and in our church. On August 23rd, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops announced the establishment of an ad hoc committee against racism, initiated by Cardinal Daniel Andinardo of Galveston, Houston, president of the USCCB. The committee will focus on addressing the sin of racism in our society and even in our church, and the urgent need to come together as a society to find solutions. In his statement regarding the establishment of the ad hoc committee against racism, Cardinal DiNardo said, and I quote, "Recent events have exposed the extent to which the sin of racism continues to inflict our nation. The establishment of this new ad hoc committee will be wholly dedicated to engaging the church and our society to work together in unity to challenge the sin of racism, to listen to persons who are suffering under this sin, and to come together in the love of Christ to know one another as brothers and sisters." End of quote. I commend Cardinal DiNardo for taking this action on behalf of the Catholic bishops in the United States, and I fully support this collegial effort to address the sin of racism as we work together for racial healing in our country. Recently, as reported in the August 6th issue of Catholic Times, several persons from the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois attended the National Black Catholic Congress in Orlando, Florida, where 2,200 attendees participated in presentations and workshops addressing issues such as the destructive nature of racism. Efforts such as this will help to bridge racial divisions. Almost 40 years ago, the bishops of the United States wrote a pastoral letter on racism, which stated, "Racism is a sin that divides the human family, blots out the image of God among specific members of that family, and violates the fundamental human dignity of those called to be children of the same Father." End of quote. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls for every form of discrimination based on race to be curbed and eradicated as incompatible with God's design. That is certainly our prayer and our hope for our nation and our diocese. May God give us this grace. Amen.
And that's Bishop Thomas John Paparocki from the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, and his views on the racial situations that are going on in this day and age. Mark, it's too bad that the church, the Catholic Church, and a lot of the AME churches, the other churches, don't have more of an ecumenical outreach.
Yeah.
You know, most of our African-American brothers and sisters belong to the Baptist churches.
That's
or
right.
The AMEs, and their churches are a worship, a place of worship for God, but it's also a place for community. And, you know, when we talk about evangelizing and trying to bring folks into the Catholic Church, that's going to be a hard nut to crack because they are so deeply integrated into their own communities.
Sure.
And, you know, Jesus would love for us to have one church. You know, I pray for that
every
morning,
absolutely,
for the reunion of all Christians.
That's right.
But I think one way to get past some of this racism is to really have the churches, the black churches, the white churches, all the churches working in unison in some way to get into this.
Well, Dave, there's a common core among all churches, and that is that Jesus is love. Mm-hmm. God is love. God is compassion. God is mercy. And I think it's only when, and this is my personal opinion, when we let our lives outside the church be influenced by influences outside the church, mm-hmm, that we forget those values. But when we're focused together on an issue with the theme of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all the Holy Trinity behind us, then we're back in our mode.
Yeah.
And we're more likely to achieve progress. We're more likely to build bridges. We're more likely to hear others, not just their words, but their hearts and their souls speaking, and to be more open to that. And you're absolutely right.
Amen, brother. All right, we got a little community calendar to get through.
We do, okay. And I'm going to divvy just a few up to here. The first thing I want to talk about is the Feast of St. Francis celebration, which is going to kick off on Monday, October 2nd, with a prayer service at 10:30 a.m. in the main lobby right here of St. Mary's Hospital. And then on Tuesday, October 3rd, a free colleague meal on the East Lawn outside the CC room. Food delivered to floors and third shift at 10:30 p.m. Community food drive collection from 10 to 2. On Wednesday the 4th, Feast of St. Francis, National Day of Celebration, and community food drive collections from 10 to 2 that day. Thursday, October 5th, the special mass at 11:30 a.m. in the St. Mary's Chapel, and a pet blessing at 5:30 p.m. Those who are familiar with St. Francis know he loved the animals.
Yeah.
And it's always this time of year, the blessing of pets occurs, and of course most priests are really excited about that. Father Joe always says, "No snakes or spiders, please."
Yeah, I didn't know your dog was Catholic.
Yeah, exactly. And then the community food drive collection each day there, and on Friday, October 6th, once again the collection's delivered, and they get delivered there.
Okay. You know, St. Mary's has a stroke support group, Mark, too, that meets the first Thursday of each month, and they cover a different topic when it comes to stroke survival. On October 5th, they are going to have their seminar on caregivers, those who take care of people that have had strokes.
Indeed.
On November 2nd, it'll be dealing with the loss of independence. Many times people have strokes and lose motor skills, you know, different things. And on December 7th, they're going to talk about food and nutrition for people that have had a stroke. If you or a loved one has had a stroke or is a stroke survivor, please join us to learn ways to cope with the effects of this stroke. And Teresa Miller is who you contact here at St. Mary's at 464-2981. That's 464-2981 for the HSHS St. Mary's Stroke Support Group.
You know, Dave, just a note on that. Many people have temporary infirmities, and perhaps they have surgery, which debilitates them through a recovery period, where they are going to make a full recovery and go on about their life as it was and be better than they were before. And I think it's important with strokes that people who have not had one or had experience with one realize that oftentimes that helpless feeling that we get when we can't do things for ourselves is only temporary. But to stroke victims, you have to cope with that many times for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that frustration and that just feeling of being dependent.
Well, my dad deals with it every day. You know,
exactly.
He had a massive stroke in 2007.
Exactly.
And, you know, he always kept himself in the best physical shape he could ever be in.
I remember well.
You know, and then the stroke hit him on Valentine's Day. It was a brain bleed. And it's really diminished his physical ability.
Sure.
Speech and everything's fine.
Oh, yeah.
His mind is fine.
Right.
And it's just it's tough for him to face the days with the restricted mobility.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I've got one more before we run out of time here, Mark. And that's on October 14th, we're going to have the 2017 Share Walk for Remembrance and Hope. It's going to be at Nelson Park Pavilion Number 2. This is a walk to gather in honor of the babies that were either suffered a miscarriage or died right after a birth, that didn't make it, you know, into infancy.
Right.
So it's a march to remember. They say you should have signed up by September 15th, but by golly, you tell them the cradle and the convert.
Yeah, that's right.
And you show up.
And told you it was okay.
Yeah, October 14th, 9 a.m., Pavilion 2 at Nelson Park, the Walk for Remembrance and Hope.
Indeed.
Okay, well.
We're just about out,
We
buddy.
Are just about out of time. This morning, I want to ask our listeners to remember in their prayers today the victims of the really strong hurricanes that we suffered in this month of September. And to remember the good folks in Mexico, the earthquakes down there that have claimed near 400 lives now. I guess the ground is still shaking something fierce down there, and it's a tough time. So please keep them in your prayers. And, Mark, what kind of prayer would you like to close with this morning?
Well, in light of all the natural disasters and things that are happening, I like St. Michael, Dave.
Okay.
You know, that's my go-to prayer.
Yep.
Let's pray, folks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen, my friend. Let's do this again next week.
Okay. Since you asked me so nice, I will.
Thanks for tuning in, Cradle and the Convert. God bless y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die.